Hey friends, welcome to the Raising Boys and Girls podcast. I'm Sissy Goff.
And I'm David Thomas.
And I'm Melissa Trevathan.
And we're so glad you joined us for this conversation. Let's dive in.
One of the things I've loved most about this season is getting to pull in different perspectives. When my mom was alive, she would flip the news channels from MSNBC to Fox News to CNN and all the way back just to know all sides of an issue when there was an important issue going on.
Our goal is for us to grow and learn together. So we will always be bringing in different perspectives, but you can be assured they are perspectives that we trust, even though we may see life or certain things differently. For example, on this episode, we will be talking about a bat mitzvah, which may be or not be familiar to you, but we can certainly tell you that we all have a lot to learn from this incredible family.
That also happened to be a part of my family, Shane and Allison Roach and their amazing daughters, Emily and Courtney. I can't even believe we're getting to have this conversation.
I cannot either. We've been talking about this for a very long time.
I know. Four of my favorite humans, I think, might have become some of your favorite humans too.
Absolutely. I claim them as family. They may not claim me, but I claim them.
I'm glad. That's good. So Uncle David to y'all and not just saying you love it. Exactly. I love it.
Me too. That's it going forward, okay? Yeah.
That's good.
100%.
Well, we were talking a little bit in the drive on the way over about even how to explain my relationship with y'all. And it feels like a picture of redemption, as we were talking about, that Allison, you and I, both of our parents divorced around the same time, which is not what anyone would pick. And it was a hard journey for a while. And part of the redemptiveness of it is I now have you guys in my family, Allison and Shane and Emily and Courtney, who are such a gift, not just to me. You certainly are to my family, but just who you guys are in the world. I would have never imagined that you all would have come into my life, that I would have liked you so much, respected you so much, all four of you, which is why we wanted you on this podcast. Mm-hmm. We were talking as we were leaving the event that y'all came in town for, our big fundraiser at Daystar yesterday, about that if y'all lived here, we would be friends. Like,
I wish we did.
Imagine, I know, me too.
It's just not quite popping distance from the line.
I know.
The goal is that you would enjoy yourself so much in your time here that you would want to move. So we're not done with that.
It could happen.
This is the long sell.
Yes. So
we're going to start out by just having you tell us a little bit about your family and even how you found your way to the work you do.
So I'll take that one. We are, you know, family of four from Atlanta. And, you know, Shane and I met randomly, would have never met in a million years, but I got transferred to a small town in Missouri called Springfield, Missouri, a long time ago. And just ended up in an apartment complex, and Shane actually lived in the apartment below me. We would have never met in a million years, but we ended up moving around a little bit and landed back in Atlanta.
Well,
and
first you were pretending like you were hanging around whenever she would come in and out, right?
Yeah, for sure, right? Yes. I mean, the longer story there is, you know, I was on the 5-year plan, so you know, we're the same age, actually, but she was graduated and had a job, which seemed like a really cool thing. And
I got transferred there, and Shane was just in a little bit college, so I felt like, who is this little guy? I don't know. I'm like a working woman now. I don't know about this.
Yeah, Allison ended up living in the apartment above me, and we should not have been there. It was like young professional apartment, you know, several miles off campus, but we'd forgotten long ago to make our place to live. So we three guys crammed in an apartment, and I kind of stalked her in the parking lot. Helped her with her books whenever I could.
That's right. So we then landed, you know, in Atlanta, and had our first child, Emily, and golly, can't believe it was 22 years ago. And Emily just graduated from University of Alabama.
Hi.
And she is living in Atlanta and loving it. She is a child life specialist, which is, we kind of say, the psychology of nursing. I don't know if that's exactly right, but it kind of gives a little bit of context to it. And she's working at Grady Hospital and also at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, at PRN. And she's just it's so cool to see her come into her own. And
yes, it is.
It's kind of cool. A lot of what we might talk about today, too, is kind of like has led up to that moment. Yeah. And so it's really quite interesting how some of the things that we've done as a family have really shaped her and kind of what, yeah, you know, she's absolutely doing now. And
that's a little terrifying too sometimes. We know the good things.
Yeah,
we're thankful
the good
for
stuff.
Those parts. Yeah. Yeah,
sticks. But and then Courtney is 20 and she is a sophomore at the University of Georgia.
I know, go Dawgs.
Yeah.
Family rivalry.
Yeah, lots of family rivalry. She's studying psychology. And
we got to have her work with us last summer. Two summers.
So fun.
Yes, and Emily for a week at a time. But man, the girls that were so impacted by you.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, I was so impacted by them. So
yes, she has loved her time at Hopetown. But we, you know, live in Atlanta. Shane and I are in the home building business. Shane and his partner have a company called South Haven Builders, and we build custom homes, and we love what we do. And Shane spent a long time in his life using his hands and learning from his dad. And, you know, we've built a fun organization and a great team in Atlanta. We have a good time with it. And on top of that, as a family, we've done a lot of really cool work with a foundation called the Rally Foundation for Childhood Cancer Research. And, you know, we just kind of started doing that, gosh, about 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. The girls were really little, and through a friend, met this incredible foundation that was, you know, kind of grassroots in Atlanta, and just wanted to do something to help kids with cancer. And we kind of jumped in and got involved, and then all of a sudden it just kept evolving and evolving. And you know, over time we have Shane's on the board, and we've gotten the opportunity to do some really neat events, and we've met a lot of families that have had really hard times. Mm-hmm. And we've walked with them, and we've lived through, you know, some friends of even the girls that have we've lost along the way. Mm-hmm. And so we've kind of had to learn a lot in hard ways and really a lot in good ways. And we always talk about how the work that we do for them, we get so much more from them than what we could ever do for them. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of, we talked a little bit that last night on the way home from evening in December, that it was kind of like similar to y'all. Like, I mean, we just got so much in our hearts out of last night. Yeah. You know, I can't imagine, you know, what y'all give and what y'all get. It's just, it's really similar, and we just are so blessed that we get to have these amazing people in our lives that we get to use as role models. And y'all are really that. And Sissy, especially you, for our girls, and Kathleen, we just we talk about it all the time. It like makes me cry because they, you know, they get to learn so much from y'all, and we are just so grateful. So thanks for letting us be here today.
Well, I'm so grateful too. And I have, part of me learning from y'all is, And for those of you who are listening, a lot of our audience are Christians, and y'all are Jewish, and which I've learned so much. There's so much richness to your heritage that I love. And I got to come for Emily's bat mitzvah first, which also happened to be when Aaron asked Dad. We all met down there for Kathleen's hand in marriage, which was such a
crazy,
crazy weekend. And I had no idea. I mean, I'd heard of bat mitzvahs and bar mitzvahs, but I'd never been to one.
Right.
And I was, I mean, the party was really fun. But I was blown away by the service element.
Absolutely.
And that's really so much of what we wanted y'all to get to talk about, too, because it's just phenomenal what you both have done that. And just would love for y'all to talk about the richness of the celebration, what all it means for anybody who doesn't know. I would like for us to be emulating it too. We just can't have enough service.
Yeah. I'll field that one. As the Christian in the family, right?
Yes.
So I grew up in Kansas City and in a really strong faith-based family, Christian faith family.
Amazing
And I moved to Springfield, Missouri, and I think I talked about, you know, living in the apartment I was not supposed to be. And I met this girl, Allison Weinstein, and that became the first Jewish person I think I had ever really known personally. So, you know, just in the Midwest, it wasn't around a lot, and met Allison, and, you know, have had an amazing lifetime of experiences since. And it's always really been fascinating for me to see and experience the similarities in the faiths, yes, and the commonalities in the faiths. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we, Allison and I dated for a long time before we ended up getting married. And a lot of that was a faith sort of journey for mm-hmm. the two of us, you know, and especially about the two of them, which mm-hmm. we didn't know, of course, at the time. Yeah. You know, but there was a lot of discussion about what faith do you bring your kids up in, and, yes, and you know, and what does that mean to each of us? And for me, it was so easy to choose Judaism as our family foundation because mm-hmm. it's so similar. You know, there's so yes. much commonality yes. in that experience. And that's the thing that just kept coming to me as we were doing all of that. And so to tie that into, you know, flash forward to Bar and Bat Mitzvah celebrations, and there's so much I love about having been exposed to all the different faiths, you know, yes. in my lifetime. And Judaism has this really incredible cyclical practice of, you know, wellness and taking care of yourself and others, and just this annual cycle that you go through in the faith. And one of the life milestones is this Bar and Bat Mitzvah, and it's at your 13th birthday, and really the whole essence of it is an opportunity to lead the service in your community, in your church, in your temple, in your synagogue. And so it is fully it's a rite of passage, you know, it's a coming of age. It's a really neat thing to watch kids do. It's a tremendous amount of preparation and you know, it's Hebrew, which I don't know if you've tried to read Hebrew recently, but it's
amazing,
really difficult. Yeah, it's incredible. But anyway, so the richness of the Bar and Bat Mitzvah for us was this neat opportunity to see the kids go through the exercise of being prepared to lead, you know, the congregation in a service. And it's just so neat for them to have that opportunity. And then on top of that, you know, as all things, you know, celebrations tend to come along with big rites of passage like that. And so there's an experience, there's a common kind of practice, at least in the world that these guys grew up in Atlanta, and where there's a big celebration around that all too. And often that's a celebration of family and friends, which is all amazing. But we knew early on, having this close, long-time relationship with the Raleigh Foundation, all of us growing up around the Raleigh Foundation as they were growing up, that we hope to make a celebration of a different kind, mm-hmm. you know, and something mm-hmm. that really could give back, right? Give to others as opposed to, you know, being the center of that attention. And that was important for us to contemplate as a family. And so anyway, that came around to this place and time where we decided, all right, this celebration wanted to be something different, something more. We wanted to find somebody to celebrate that wasn't us, and that became the Raleigh Foundation. And then we kind of challenged each other as a family, which is something that we've really loved through the years, is, you know, let's come up with an idea. Let's come up with something that's, you know, curious and different and mm-hmm. ambitious, and something that you have to put together and something you have to plan. And so,
big.
Yeah, no, right. Think big. Oh, we had a lot of think big conversations, and dream big, and you know, mm-hmm. anything you really put your mind to, you yeah. can accomplish. You know, given the opportunities. And so, it was around the time of American Idol and all of its height. I don't know if y'all are American Idol fans, but we had a lot of American Idol watching around our family. And after several different ideas, we came around to this idea that we would hold a kind of a live music event and emulate this American Idol experience. And we reached out to several of the children who were fighting cancer at the yeah. time, and some mm-hmm. who had lost siblings to cancer, and mm-hmm. and friends of ours and Emily's and Courtney's that they had become close to with being in mm-hmm. the organization over the years. And there's some musical talent in there and some musical dreams in there. And when it's funny when you start asking people, it's like, oh, I play the guitar. Oh, I love to sing. Oh, you know. So anyway, we found these five amazing kids that were willing to perform and be a part of this.
And it was all affected by cancer.
Kids fighting cancer mm-hmm. or one sibling that had lost mm-hmm. a sister to cancer. And so anyway, that was the premise. We were bringing these kids in. It was a big event. It was a fundraiser.
Is it called the Fox Theater?
Atlanta. Yeah, really neat. So on stage, and it just had all these fun elements. And
So and it was full.
It was full, yeah. We had a 1,000 people or so.
Yeah, crazy.
Wow. Crazy, yeah. Yeah. So these kids were the stars, kind of like American Idol. But then, on top of that,
yeah. So then, you know, as part of the American Idol setup is a judges panel, right? Mm-hmm. And so you know, we didn't invite Simon Cowell because
he didn't respond to the invitation, but we tried to avoid
that version of it. And instead, the girls reached out, and Emily, especially in the first one, reached out to some former American Idol contestants. You know, so some folks we'd kind of seen and had really done some amazing things, and
wrote some letters on on loose leaf paper with my gel pens. Yeah. I will never forget. I have these mini gel pens, and they just encouraged me. I think it was an age where I didn't know any better, and I'm so glad I didn't know any better to think like, yeah, these people are going to read my letter and they're going to want to come. Yes. And I think that they instilled that in us so much with this idea of dream big. I think that was probably like the most commonly used phrase in our house around this time of life. And I think that it shaped everything about who we are right now. I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but even to this day, sometimes I'm at work and I think like, oh, we need to go and do that. And I'm like, that's a little ambitious. Like, maybe I need to back myself up a little bit. And then I'm like, no, this is where this came from. And what a formative experience of our life. And it was just such a sweet thing to get to see these five kids who became some of our closest and dearest friends and people we keep up with to this day, to get to them, see them perform in front of past American Idol contestants. And we're from Atlanta. We don't see famous people quite as much as y'all do here in Nashville. So it was one of the coolest things that we've ever gotten to be a part of. And yeah, I'll never forget those loose leaf notebook paper letters written in that pink or blue, you know, depending on who it was.
Stalked a few of those folks at shows. And so Emily approached them all and invited them all to come, and they all came, and it was a really, it was an incredible experience. It was something we all cherish as a family.
And it was cool because the kids got to tell their story just like American Idol. Yes. You know, they got to tell their story in a video, and so everybody in the audience got to hear their story, and then they got to sing their song, and then the American Idols were so touched and got to, you know, give them so much love. And it was just like the whole room was just filled with love. I mean, it was just hope and love. Yeah. It was just so, it was really amazing. And then Courtney got to do it again.
It's true.
3 years later, we did it again.
Which we weren't sure we were going to, right? Yeah, I mean, gave her the opportunity to think about, is this really what you want to do? Or do you want to dream big in another direction? Is there? And you contemplated some of those things, but then the heart for Rally came pretty strong.
Always. Also just that, I mean, I'll talk about this so much, that I have the best big sister in the whole world, and that, I mean, anything she does is exactly who I want to be. And so to follow in her footsteps was such an honor for me. I love you so much.
Yeah, they were both pretty much just, you know, sort of life-changing events. And, and it was, you know, each time we did it, it was a year in the making. So, I mean, we were working hard.
It was a full-time job.
That's what I wondered about, just even like the preparation and what you all remember about that year-long process.
Absolutely.
David, did you get your taxes finished? What did you say? What are you eating?
Okay, I am obsessed with these new Chipotle barbecue kettle chips.
Will you share?
I would have, but they are all gone.
Where'd you get them?
Thrive Market.
How much do we love Thrive Market?
I could record an entire podcast about that topic.
You know who else loves Thrive Market? Patches. She loves the surf and turf meaty littles from The Honest Kitchen.
I love that Patches has a surf and turf situation going on.
From pets to kids to grown-ups, everyone can find things they love at Thrive.
Thrive Market is my go-to for all my grocery and household essentials. And the convenience of getting everything online then quickly shipped to my doorstep is a huge time saver.
I love that Thrive Market carries brands with the highest quality ingredients and sourcing methods. They restrict hundreds of ingredients across their food and cleaning categories, and I can use their on-site filters to suit my lifestyle needs.
Whether you're looking for organic kid snacks, low-sugar alternatives, or gluten-free pantry essentials, you can curate your own shopping experience with a few clicks.
And as a Thrive Market member, I save money on every single grocery order. On average, I save over 30% each time. They even have a deals page that changes daily and always has some of my favorite brands. David, how much did you save on your last order?
I saved $32.
I saved over $12.67.
How much did Patches save?
A lot. She's ordering more than I am.
You got me hooked on ordering frozen foods. I got salmon, bacon, and pork this month.
Something else I love is when you join Thrive Market, you are also helping a family in need with their one-for-one membership matching program. You join, they give.
I love that too. Save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/RBG for 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift.
That's thrivemarket.com/RBG. thrivemarket.com/RBG. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples.
Yes, for the samples, because seasonal allergies are no joke in the state of Tennessee.
Or Kentucky, where I spend the summers at Hopetown. I spend most of the summer outdoors and could not function without allergy relief.
Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D.
This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease.
You just described my exact state in waking up, minus the need for coffee.
I've been taking Claritin D for my allergies for years, and it's been an absolute life changer. I can be outside with the kids at camp without my eyes watering like a fountain, and I can speak without feeling like a frog has jumped into my throat.
But at Hopetown, a frog could jump into your boat or your bed, and Claritin can't really help with that.
That's true, but they've got allergies covered. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear.
Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter.
Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription.
Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed.
Is there anything else that stands out to you?
There are definitely things that stand out and things that I think about to this day that I learned from them getting to watch it. I think it was an incredible experience being 13 years old. They brought us in and we really got to plan and work as a family, even being young. Mm-hmm. And I think that they brought us in not to just the fun stuff, but helped us be included in the people that said no and the hard phone conversations mm-hmm. that were being
yes.
had. And
that's so good.
They kept reminding us of, okay, like, some of these things might feel uncomfortable. It might feel awkward and we might be asking for money or we might be being told no mm-hmm. a lot of times over and over again when asking for different things that went to making this event what it was. But they brought us into that and helped us understand, okay, but we have to remember why we're doing this. Yes. And I think something that I've heard y'all talk about so much of that hope comes from struggle. Mm-hmm. And I think this was such a beautiful example of that, mm-hmm. but it also showed the work that it takes for to take that struggle into that hope and mm-hmm. to experience that joy, because it was such a joyful night, but it also took so much on the back end as a family. But I also think it's made our family who we are to this day. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it shapes everything that each of us do, but I think especially who we are as the four of us. Mm-hmm. This was such a formative experience. We spent so much time working on so many different things. Mm-hmm. We also got to bring so many of our good friends and family into it. Mm-hmm. We had
envelope stuffing parties, and we got to design logos together, and
t-shirts.
Oh my goodness, the t-shirts.
A lot of talk about the t-shirts.
But it was something that we all got to do together. Mm-hmm. And they never looked at us and said, like, oh, you're too young for this conversation, mm-hmm. or this isn't something that you can help with. This was when we got home from school, this is what we were working on. Mm-hmm. But it was such a joyful and exciting thing. And then to see it all in the end come together so beautifully was everything for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know, it was like, there were so many times when I feel like we would be working on all these things and it was stressful, but then it was always like they reminded us that like there is so much joy to mm-hmm. find and like helping others, and like in the hard work of it all, like there is such a reason and such a moment for the stress, but also such a moment for the joy of it all, and to get to see like the friendships that we've made from it and all the things that we've gotten to do and experience has just been one of the most awesome things and one of the greatest gifts that I've been given from them. But
okay, can I just also say, as the four of you tell that story, what a picture of the four of you in so many ways. Like, I was thinking as you were talking, your wisdom as parents to say, even within that, like, you'll feel awkward at times asking.
Yes.
And you're going to hear no. Like, what great preparation for life.
Absolutely.
Right there. And and to how extraordinary the two of you are. I think that you'll feel stress and pressure when you're preparing for something. Like, that's just a part of being human.
Right.
And that you all were allowing them all that space to figure those things out and connect those dots. No wonder you two are as remarkable as you are.
Yes, agreed. And that, I mean, I was thinking too, and that your goal wasn't, this will really bring us closer as a family.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But the truth of having a common purpose and a common mission just inevitably does.
Absolutely.
And so, yes, wow. Okay, so how would you each say it's changed you? How are you different because of it?
I think as we were talking about this, it's everything. Mm-hmm. And I think it's almost even hard to pinpoint at this point because it's just become so much of who we are. Mm-hmm. So much of this, I feel like, was such a natural progression of who our family is. And also knowing that it came from an interfaith relationship. And I think so much of that has been, we get to kind of turn around and be like, okay, maybe we're going to do this because we know both sides and because we get to have this beautiful coming together of two such rich traditions. Okay, maybe we're going to do something a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. And I think that that really makes our family who we are. But also, I now get to work as a child life specialist, and I would have never chosen this job if it wasn't for knowing Rally.
Yes.
We met Rally when I was in fourth grade. Wow. And it kind of became this purpose all the way back then. And I think a bunch of times in my life, I feel like I could have probably told you this is exactly what I'm going to be doing because of this. And it has not turned out to be that in any way. But it's really guided, I think, our purpose and who we feel like we want to be and who we feel the most ourselves as. Mm-hmm. I get to work with incredible kids every single day and get to work with families like the ones that I met when I was in fourth grade and then again when we did this. And it feels like such a gift to get to enter into that space. And now it's become something that's so normalized in my life that thinking back on this event and thinking back of the start, I would have never believed that I could have been sitting here at 22, and who knows where it will be in 10 more years, 20 more years. But I think it's shaped Courtney in a million different ways as well.
Totally. I know, I was just thinking about how, like, all of these things that we've did, I mean, even subconsciously, like, it's always seeped into our lives. But I think it's one of the reasons that I was so, like, drawn to Hopetown. 'Cause I just felt like this was something that my parents had raised me on, but it wasn't even ever, they had to remind us of this. Like, it was, they were the most, like, lead by example people that I have ever experienced. And I know I'm biased because they're my parents.
There's a lot of exposure. Captive audience.
Exactly. But just being at Hopetown and, like, all throughout my life, really, it's just, like, when you get to do something that isn't for the betterment of maybe yourself, but maybe the betterment of others, like, there's just so much passion and joy to be found within that, and like such a fulfilling feeling that like I think they just taught us like there's nowhere else you really can find that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but Hopetown this summer was one of my favorite things I think I've ever done. Mm-hmm. And getting to be there with those kids reminded me so much of getting to spend so much time with the kids during Rally Idol and just become their friends and yeah. be there for them and get to talk and have the hard conversations, but also get to have so much fun within it, which yes. Hopetown does such a good job of balancing. Mm. And I felt like this was the exact same balance mm. of these stories that these kids have and the childhood that has been taken away from them because of these horrible things that have happened. There is still so much joy to be found during the time. Melissa would always say like that it's so hard sometimes because you can feel so sad, but that just doesn't mean that hope isn't there anymore. Mm. And I've always clung on to that, especially when she would say all the time this summer, it's just so true that there can be so much hardness within life, but there is also so much to be like happy to live for and mm-hmm. so much to be happy to experience. And
if you keep looking for that, it makes the other stuff fade a little
exactly,
bit, right?
Uh-huh. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And to just be so, yeah, joyful and to have those relationships and experiences with all those different types of people and all those kids, even while we were kids. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it reminded us not to keep things at arm's length. And yeah. this wasn't something that we were doing kind of from afar, but it was something that they taught us to really jump all the way into. And I feel like that's what I've seen you guys do at Hopetown when I've been able to come and visit. You're not standing back and giving from afar, but you are really jumping in with kids and with families to be in it with all the things that you do. And I think that's been part of my job that I've been so grateful for. And I think that's what makes such a big difference. It was something that we got to become friends with these families and got to know them more than just, oh, these are Rally families, but like mm-hmm. these are some of my dearest and closest friends. And sometimes that meant that we experienced grief, and sometimes that meant that we got to experience some of the greatest joy that yeah. life could even hold. Mm. But it reminded me, and it keeps reminding me, to jump all the way in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Roll up your totally. Sleeves and get after it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Make exactly. something happen.
Yeah.
There is a deep kindness in the two of you that's mm-hmm. evident, and there's obviously some evidence already we've shared of where that came from, the opportunities for that to develop in you. But I'd be curious to ask just anything else that these two did to foster that deep kindness in the two of you?
I mean, so many things. But like I was saying earlier, like truly, I think the exact words are that y'all just led by example. And we got to see the way that you interacted with all of the people around you. And I mean, obviously from such a young age, like it was always just this deep kindness that they had in them that they got to share with us. And we just thought they were the coolest people in the world and wanted to be just like them. And so just in all of their actions, like I remember when I was younger, watching the way they interacted with people and then maybe seeing the way that other people interact. And I was like, something is different about this. Mm. And they just continuously, I'm gonna cry. They just continuously like give so much of themselves in ways that I think is not even natural and not even the ways that people usually function. Mm. But anything that they have done and taught us is like, again, the greatest gift that we've ever been yeah. given.
When you meet Allison and Shane Roach, I think the question goes, like, there's not even a question there anymore of how we could be who we are, I really mm-hmm. believe. Mm-hmm. I think the way that they interact with every single person mm-hmm. that they come across, everyone feels like the most important person in the room.
Mm-hmm. Really.
Allison Roach especially, and my dad, I think they give of themselves in such unique ways. I think my mom gives so much through so much joy in just approaching each person she comes across. And then my dad is so thoughtful to give so much of himself, especially in the moments where people really, really need it.
True.
And sometimes I look at them and wonder how it's even possible that I get to call them my parents. I think Courtney and I share that 100% in the same way of that we get to be sisters. But we learn so much by what they do every single day. And I think that it was never something they were forcing upon us. It was something that they were teaching us by just going out and going to Publix or meeting, running into friends everywhere she goes. You can't go anywhere without someone knowing Allison Roach. Uh-huh. And it's just been such a gift.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, we have to ask you any more questions. We don't even want to talk after that. It sounds like it's something they were inviting you into.
They
were. Absolutely. It's just who they are, which we certainly know to be true. So we are talking about the ages and stages in this season of the podcast. If y'all had to say what's been your favorite age stage so far, what would you say?
Well, right off the cuff, it's like, how can you not love this one? It's really amazing. I think we've especially enjoyed this moment in time where we now are experiencing these grown humans.
Gosh, that are amazing.
Right, which is just really incredible. I feel like for us, it's long stopped being a parent-child relationship, but, just four adults working together and such amazing things that they're doing. So that's pretty awesome. I mean, but it's all been so incredible through the years, I think I was talking to Kathleen yesterday about Henry and Wit.
Yes.
And,
those stages were
loved
so
watching
fun.
Those boys grow up. And that's a stage we haven't seen in a while. so fun to be around that and really enjoy that kind of, 1.5 to 2.5 when they're starting to walk and they're starting to talk and they're starting to tell you the things they like and the things they don't like. And it's just amazing to see them become that little version of the human that they are now. So it's a pat answer, but all of the stages are amazing.
Yes,
from the littles and now to see them in humans, that whole transition is pretty amazing. And been some fun ones along the way. Allison, what about you?
No, I was thinking the stages. I mean, it's hard to pick because it's just been a ride, and it's almost like those 18 years, you don't realize, they tell you, what do they say, the days are long and the years are short. And I think about some of those days when they were little and you're just trying to get through to the next day, and they're trying to get them in the bath and in the bed and all the things, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, this empty nesting thing, it's like, it's so crazy that it happens so quickly. But then this, the richness of this stage is so amazing, and to see them and in the real world or in college and like finding themselves and learning about others and having their own separate interactions from whatever we have done together, but hoping that foundation, you're constantly, okay, did I tell them that? Did I teach them this? Wait, I hope I said that. I hope I taught them that. And you're just like, okay, we just got to have trust and let them go, and let them fly. And I saw this quote, I think I just showed y'all earlier when we were first walked in here, but it says, having days together with your grown children is like visiting with the most treasured, beautiful part of your life. And I thought that was so impactful. It's so cool. I just, it's so true. And just watching them is so beautiful now, and it brings us such joy, and we're so proud of y'all. And I mean, don't get me started.
Of course you are. What would you say along the way was some of the best parenting advice you were given?
I mean, a lot of what y'all have done.
Starts right here at this table.
I know sometimes I'm like, man, I wish we could rewind. I could have read that book and read that and utilized that spot and whatnot. But I think we've talked a lot about, our parents and us having the opportunity to be raised by wonderful, wonderful humans ourselves, and my parents and Sissy's parents and Shane's parents. I mean, we're so guided by, just beautiful souls with big hearts and open mindedness, and it's a gift to be able to follow in footsteps of our parents. And one thing we talk about, especially in our family, is Shane's parents have this annual ritual that we've become to know that has been actually part of shaping these girls also and their cousins. But they do this annual thing every holiday we get in the room, and it's so cool because it's also, you know, it's organic. Like my mother-in-law, we all kind of know it's going to happen, but like she's so organic in the way that it comes together. It's not like a forced effort or we have to get this done. It's just organically it comes together and we're going to do it at some point. And it started when we were adults and the kids were little, and his mom said, you know, y'all are always talking to me and I get to hear what everybody's doing in their lives, but you know, I don't get to know if y'all are all talking about it and hearing what each other are doing in your lives. And so I just want to have the opportunity to have a talk. And so we would just sit in the kitchen table, and next thing you know, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. We have been bawling. We have been laughing. We have shared some really, you know, deep stuff that you might only share with, like, you know, if you were in therapy or just, but you're sharing it with this family, and like, it is a safe space, and there are tears, and there are times when you just want to, you know, tell things that maybe you hadn't even said all year, that you are just able to say it there because it's such a safe space. And it has been like life changing. And so as the years have gone on, it, beautifully enough, they've included the grandchildren, and now we all get to say what's happening in our lives. And some of it has been really heavy stuff, you know, and struggles, but also very joyous stuff and beautiful stuff, and how it's also given them, I think, a lot of confidence because they're talking about what they're doing in school or whatnot, and how they've done this in their job, or, you know, how they've struggled with this, but they're trying to overcome it. And all these people in this safe space are giving them encouragement and love and hope, you know, and it's like, it's life-changing. I think both of y'all even touched on it in, like, your college essay.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
And it extends the family reach, I think, for us too. I mean, setting, as you're describing that, I'm picturing it in my mind, and it's I have two younger brothers, and they're both married, and there are 10 grandkids across all of that, and now they're, many of them are adults, and so it's a crowd, it's a room full of people. It's our family, but you know, but it's a neat opportunity to share and experience and recognize that we all have hard things in our lives, and we all have things to celebrate, and the openness and the ability to share that with your family and feel connected and to know that everybody is purely, you know, appreciative and open-minded to those experiences that we each have is pretty awesome.
Yeah, we've tried to keep it now as a tradition for the four of us even, and sometimes we're like, well, we were just together like for 5 days, like, do we really need to do that, you know? And then like we start talking, and the next thing you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and we've just like layers, you know, there's layers, and we've just uncovered these layers and been able to, you know, have this safe space, and it's pretty cool. And I mean, hope it goes on for generations.
I will say, Grammy said when she first started it that she got a lot of pushback. Nobody really wanted to do it, and it came from my grandpa, but now they say that this is their legacy, and this is something that they hope that we will all carry into our families in each corner with these 10 grandchildren. And it really has shaped so much of who we are. We call it the talk. There's no special, nothing special about it.
Just the talk. So,
yes, it's the talk. And it's something that we started to beg to be a part of as the grandkids. And they were like, I guess we can do this all together. But it's just been a place where we've received so much encouragement, and it's so genuine and so natural. And yeah, it didn't start easily, and she had to push it a little bit, but now it's become who we are.
Wow.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Something that, you know, I've learned from my mom too is that, you know, it's those 18 years, you know, I mean, we just lived in such a warm household, and everybody wanted to come to our house, and everybody loved our family. And my mom was just so open. The door was wide open. My dad was the same. And, you know, I felt like there was people coming in and out all the time, like looking for advice. And I was like, it was such a, I was so blessed to be able to have these parents that were just like, oh my gosh, why is everybody coming to our house, you know? And but it was just so, it was just innate, you know? And so I think I learned that too. And then, you know, and there was hard times, you know, but like, I feel like there was just such this warm love and envelope for those 18 years under that roof that shaped me and my sister. And, you know, and we were just so lucky to have that warm environment. There wasn't like, I always think about like, you know, when there's a family, there's a lot of rules, you know, and yes. a lot of punishment, and a lot of if you do this, this is going to happen. And I feel like my parents were not like that, and it was mm-hmm. like because they taught us the values mm-hmm. and the morals mm-hmm. and what's right from wrong. Mm-hmm. We didn't need that. We didn't need those heavy duty rules or those punishments. And so, you know, if we didn't do well on a test, you know, we talked about it, and okay, well, you tried your hard, you know, your hardest. And if you tried your hardest, then that's all that matters, you know? And I think that I've tried that with my girls too, and Shane as well. Like, you know, it's like if you have that openness in your family, and it's not just like, if this happens, then this is going to happen. And it's more about, you know, just that openness, you know, and not having those, I guess, I mean, obviously you have rules, but it's more like guidance, you know, there's yes. rules that are clear when they're little, especially and young and shaping and foundation, but it's also that guidance. Mm-hmm. And so I'm so grateful for that gift because it helped me and helped Shane, you know, in raising these girls and letting them make their own mistakes mm-hmm. and then figure it out, you yes. know, along the way.
Yes. Well, it says so much about who you and Julie were, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay, you two. One last question. We talk so much about how it's harder to grow up, not just be a teenager, but certainly to be a teenager than it's ever been. What advice would you give to parents of kids who are becoming teenagers, who are there just to help in the midst of it? Y'all are a little past your teenagers.
Well, I think it kind of goes into a lot of what she was just saying about how, like, their house was always the house that people would go to and how everyone was always invited in. Mm-hmm. And I think they made that a thing for our house, too. And I just remember, you know, being a teenager, it is really hard sometimes. And there's a lot of emotions that come with that. And sometimes you come home and your mom asks you how your day is and you're like, I can't talk about it. And you go up to your room. But then you go back downstairs and you realize how safe of a place they've made your home and how mm-hmm. safe of a place our home was to both of us, I feel like. Whenever there was, you know, any even silly drama with friends, like, I knew I could always go and talk to them both about it. And always that, you know, mom was always right, usually. and just that it was somewhere that I could go after a long day and, like, I could let go. And I didn't have to feel stressed to be somebody that I wasn't. And I didn't have to feel stressed to put on this face of such happiness. And there were so many times where that wasn't even a face at all. But just the stress can get to you. And the pressure of looking just right or saying all the right things or being funny but not too funny or just all of the different things, like, I didn't feel like I had to be like that at home. And home was such a safe place that I could just go when there was so much stress, but it was just awesome.
I think this is probably so much easier said than done, and something that I think about when I have kids one day. I pray that I can learn from them, but they didn't take our teenage selves personally. And sometimes sometimes I think that would be really, really hard not to do.
Yeah.
And I think both of them continued to show up for us even when we were being a little bit of our teenage selves. And they never let that build too much of a wall. And they never made that personal to themselves, and they instead guided us. I think, it was more about it. There were set boundaries, but it was also about the values that they continued to show for us, that I felt like I didn't need the hard rules and the punishments as well. I knew the moments when I was doing something that was outside of the values of our family, and I never felt afraid to come and talk to my parents about it. I never felt like there was something I had to hide. I felt like they were always going to jump in and be with that with me. They definitely let us work through our problems on our own, but they never shied away from giving us any of the resources that we might need and kind of seeking out those things when we needed them. And they saw us for who we were in all of the good, and they encouraged that all the time. And they also were so kind and so helpful to jump into the things that we struggled with. And help us see a counselor or help us find a tutor. Or, and it wasn't, oh my goodness, I can't believe that you're feeling so down and you're sitting in your room and what's going on with you. But it was instead, how can we meet you in this and how can we encourage you through this and what do you need? Rather than what's wrong, it's what do you need? And I think that's something that you guys say so awesomely. And with Courtney, I mean, I think both of us with grades, it was never this, you have to do, you have to get this A and you have to do all these things. But instead it was, okay, how can we help you? And if you're having a class, like, we get it, and it's hard. And mom stopped being able to help us with math in like third grade, and so she got it. Love her dearly. She is amazing at so many different things. But
that's
she,
not my gift. Not my gift.
But they understood, and I never felt like there was that judgment. But I always knew that they were going to meet us and help us with what we needed.
Yeah, we never doubted the way that they felt about us, and like they were always there to build us up. And her mom would always say when we were younger, and we would laugh at her, but now we look back at it all the time and we're like, Emily and I have this relationship because of what she said. But always, always it was, y'all make sure, like, lift each other up, support each other. And she would say,
there's going to be times when it's hard for one of you and the times when it's great for one of you, but it all comes out in the wash. And you should always lift each other up. It's and so we good. Would I mean we would laugh a little bit when we were little, and now we look at each other and we're like, that's always why lift each other up. And it's so true of who we are now.
Truly.
You four.
I know. What a rich conversation.
We don't want it to end, but when you move to Nashville, we can be right back.
Yes.
Thank you. We like to end with something fun and food related. So, two-part question. Queso or guac, and what's your favorite kind of taco?
I feel like family-wise, the answer is queso.
100%.
Totally.
We are a queso. We are a queso family for sure.
Always on the hunt for the best queso, by the way.
Pork belly taco from Bar Taco is my favorite one right now. Loving that taco.
I was thinking about what taco I love the most, and I really think it's a Hopetown breakfast taco.
That's a good one.
Shout out to Erin Weber.
Absolutely. Always.
And I'm just a chicken taco girl. I'm a chicken taco.
Hard or soft shell?
Soft.
Yeah, that's my jam. Hard shell. Corn tortilla. No flour. Mm-hmm. Corn tortilla. Hard shell. You put whatever you want on it, as long as it's a hard shell. Corn tortilla.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, y'all.
This was such a treat. And thank y'all for having us. This was just amazing.
Yeah. Every bit as wonderful as we knew it would be. Yes. So grateful for all four of you.
We're so grateful for y'all's leadership and all the, come back around on this in a full circle. It really is pretty incredible to think about sitting here at this table and all the incredible advice that we're so fortunate to be proximal to, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, just, really, really, really neat. So we're so grateful for both of y'all.
Thanks for enriching our lives.
And the lives of countless other people.
Absolutely.
Thank you for what you do each and every day. Y'all are truly remarkable.
Angels.
David, what a team we have that we get to call friends who help make this podcast possible.
Amanda Young, our operations manager.
Chris Starrett, our engineer and producer.
Our management team at KCH.
We are thrilled to be a part of the That Sounds Fun Network.
Our music was created by the insanely talented Dave Haywood of Lady A.
And if this podcast felt helpful to you, please consider subscribing, liking, sharing, all the things.
We are grateful for you and cheering you on always.